Welcome to Bible Believers Fellowship and the ministry of BBFOhio.com and this study in James chapter 2, verses 10 through 13, titled The Law of Liberty. This is Pastor Greg welcoming you to our expository study of the book of James in the Authorized King James Bible. If you have any questions, comments, or prayer requests, you can send those to us by email at bbfohio@protonmail.com. Or you can send your letter along with any check or money order contributions in support of this ministry to Bible Believers Fellowship, P.O. Box 662, Worthington, Ohio 43085. Donations can also be made at bbfohio.com by scrolling down to the PayPal donation button. And now we begin with the current events update and then our study in James chapter 2, verses 10 through 13, titled The Law of Liberty. This is part one of two.
Good coffee. Brought to you by Jenny Miller. 1, 2, 3 headline reviews in the news. We begin with one of the most wicked women in American history. One of, Hillary Clinton privately warned France that Wuhan P4 lab may lead to bioweapon research. So before you ever heard of COVID, the State Department under Hillary Clinton was warning about what happened to us. You say, well, that's good. Well, it would have been good, number one, if they had actually done something about it. But since the outbreak of COVID-19 and questions surrounding the Wuhan lab, Hillary Clinton has never spoken publicly of these concerns, but has attacked people bringing them up as somehow being racist. I guess because we're anti-Chinese. And blamed them for attacks on Asian Americans without evidence. There's no evidence of what she was claiming. But she's a political hack, and she'll say whatever she can to push her liberal agenda. And that's just an article that I don't have time to run through, but it's on a website, humanevents.com. And if you're online, just write down humanevents.com and go read that article about Hillary Clinton privately warned France that Wuhan P4 lab may lead to bioweapon research. Now, here was Hillary's official response when this story broke. I brought that just for Mark. Look at Mark's face. He's just... I couldn't find it for the longest time, and I found the old clip that he was asking for.
I want to know what about when you, after Trump won the election.
Secondly, more evidence of Google and YouTube's wickedness. As we just said, they've kicked Skywatch TV off. And Brother John Hartman's channel is getting kicked off because he's posting my videos. And they don't like the things I say. And you know what? And I offer this to anybody. If anything I say is provenly false, I will take down the video and apologize and retract that statement. YouTube isn't coming after me because I'm saying things that aren't true. YouTube is coming after me because they are wicked liars, they are Orwellian, and they want to control you. That's what it's all about. Fox News Channel's Tucker Carlson ties scientists advising Google, who owns YouTube, on COVID-19 to human engineering. He's being attacked for saying this, even though it is simply the truth. So I want you to listen to him for just a couple of minutes here. We're going to listen to Tucker. Let him explain.
2 weeks ago, the Wall Street Journal had a really interesting event you may have missed. It was called the Tech Health Conference. During that event, one reporter had a question for the head of Google's health division, a man called David Feinberg. Why, that reporter asked, was Google censoring searches for information about the possibility that COVID had in fact escaped from a laboratory in China? Feinberg began by admitting the premise of the question. Yes, Google was in fact hiding information from its users, he effectively conceded. But it was for their own good. According to Feinberg, Google didn't want to, quote, lead people down pathways that we would not find to be authoritative information. Authoritative information. You've heard that phrase a lot in the last year, or phrases like it. Authoritative information is the opposite of misinformation or disinformation or worse, a conspiracy theory. It's really important. All you're allowed to see is authoritative information. So it is worth knowing, in this and many other cases, what is it? And in this case, where did Google get its so-called authoritative information? Well, in this case, it got that information from a group led by a noted man of science called Peter Daszak. If the name sounds familiar, Peter Daszak is the person who almost single-handedly stopped all public speculation about the lab leak early in the pandemic last year. Daszak did this in one swoop by organizing a letter to The Lancet. That's one of the top scientific publications in all of science, stating as a known fact that there was no possibility this virus, the coronavirus, COVID-19, could have come from a lab in Wuhan. There was no chance. Well, many people believed him and they stopped looking. It was in The Lancet, after all. Almost no one asked, unfortunately, why Peter Daszak particularly might be saying this. And of course, we now know the answer. Peter Daszak himself was funding research on bat coronaviruses in Wuhan. And he was doing that using American tax dollars supplied to him by Tony Fauci. According to one grant that Fauci approved, Daszak was authorized to conduct, quote, virus infection experiments across a range of cell cultures from different species and humanized mice. Why humanized mice? Well, because they mimic human beings. Daszak and his collaborators wanted to make viruses more infectious to people. He didn't hide this. In December of 2019, Daszak appeared on a podcast on YouTube, which is owned by Google, by the way, to brag about how easy it is in the lab to manipulate bat coronaviruses.
The coronaviruses are pretty good. I mean, you're a virologist, you know all this stuff, but you can manipulate them in the lab pretty easily. Yeah. Spike protein drives a lot of what happens with the coronavirus, zoonotic risk. So you can get the sequence, you can build the protein, and we work with Ralph Barrick at UNC to do this, insert it into the backbone of another virus,
right,
and do some work in the lab.
So really, in one of the great kind of head-hitting moments in recent history, we learn that the guy directly tied to bat virus experiments in the lab in Wuhan was the very same guy telling the entire world that there was no possibility this virus could have come from the Wuhan lab. Conflict of interest, anyone? It's absurd. It's beyond belief. What's amazing is that Google knew this. The evidence was right there on one of its own platforms, YouTube, which it owns. So why did Google continue to rely on Peter Daszak, of all people on Earth, to decide what the rest of the population could know about the origins of COVID? That is the answer. Tonight we know why. It turns out that Tony Fauci was not the only one funding Peter Daszak's research on bat viruses. Google was funding that research too. It sounds unlikely, but we know it. We know this from a new piece in the National Pulse, which just published the evidence. And here's the evidence. Peter Daszak admitted it in print. We don't need to speculate. It's right there. Beginning in 2010, several of Daszak's research papers explicitly acknowledged that they were funded by Google. One of those papers was an observational study that analyzed the transmission of viruses from bats to humans, in this case in Bangladesh. Quote, proximity of bats to human populations may facilitate the transmission of viruses either through direct contact or through foodborne routes. A decade later, Google was still paying him. In this case, Google paid Peter Daszak to take his study of bat viruses to Guangdong province in China, home of the now famous bat caves. While there, Daszak used Google's money to study the, quote, perceptions associated with transmission of pathogens with pandemic potential in highly exposed human populations at the animal-human interface, end quote. So yes, Peter Daszak knows an awful lot about bat-borne pandemics. In fact, it seems likely he is implicated in one, and Google is likely implicated in it as well. So together, Google and Daszak worked to keep critical, factual information from the public as nearly 4 million people from around the world died from the virus. It's a horrible story, and someday, perhaps soon, we will learn all of it.
And then Fauci sold us the vaccine.
That's the kind of stuff that you're going to see at the Great White Throne.
Yeah.
You're going to see all the wickedness just... And so the very people who are controlling the internet and kicking everybody off the internet are the same people funding this stuff and getting people killed and then censoring anybody who tries to speak openly about it and even just discuss it. Even people who weren't making accusations, just trying to discuss it, and they were kicked off their platforms. Carlson explained how those scientists supported what had been deemed human engineering and warned it was what science looked like when completely decoupled from wisdom and from decency and from Christianity. Amen. That's the world without Christ, the world without, with only a remnant of true believers and most professing Christians being completely apostate. Most of the denominations are going completely into Sodom. That's sadly what you get. That's where we're at as we wait for the Lord to return. But now let's end on a positive note.
Yay.
The Senate GOP blocks the Democrat voting bill, calling it a despicable attempt to strip states of their constitutional right.
Woo.
Let me explain something. These attempts right now by the Democrat Party, I think it might have it in my next... H.R. 1, For the People Act is what it was called the Screw the People Act by conservatives. It was nothing more than an attempt to enable more Democrat Party cheating.
Yeah.
And listen, when a party can totally destroy your election system and do what they're doing and have been trying to do for a long time now, they're succeeding. This is just another one of those examples of a reprieve. I mean, this blocking this bill with a filibuster is keeping our country from going into the pot completely. So we must have vigilance until the trumpet sounds. Amen? 1 Peter 5:8 says, "Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary the devil as a roaring lion walketh about seeking whom he may devour. Whom resist steadfast in the faith, knowing that the same afflictions are accomplished in your brethren that are in the world." James chapter 2, verses 10 through 13, the law of liberty. The law of liberty. James 2, 10 through 13, we're going to read. I'll have you read the odd verses. I'll start in verse 10. "For whosoever shall keep the whole law and yet offend in one point, he is guilty of all. For he that said, 'Do not commit adultery,' said also, 'Do not kill.' Now if thou commit no adultery, yet if thou kill, thou art become a transgressor of the law. So speak ye, and so do, as they that shall be judged by the law of liberty. For he shall have judgment without mercy that hath showed no mercy, and mercy rejoiceth against judgment." God's people say amen to that. The previous study, we discussed the royal law. And that was verses 8 and 9. "If ye fulfill the royal law according to the scripture, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself, ye do well. But if ye have respect to persons, ye commit sin and are convinced of the law as transgressors." So that's where we left off. The royal law, you remember Jesus, we quoted and read what his words were, loving your neighbor as yourself. Christians are not about self-love and self-esteem. We are about self-sacrifice, and we are about loving others. We are about serving others. The pandemic among Christians today is self-centeredness. And if people would serve others the way they serve themselves, it'd make quite a change in the world. But that's, as we said, we left off. And what we're seeing here in verse 10 is you may be doing right in other areas, but you are wrong to treat the poor differently than you do the rich. And people treat the poor differently than they do the rich. Actually, in an attempt sometimes to be helpful and sometimes just because they have no respect for the poor. It goes both ways, but both ways are wrong. And we talked about our welfare system, for example. It has promoted women to have children out of wedlock for men not to marry women, and they get a pay raise every time they have another baby out of wedlock. That's not welfare. That's not helpful. The Bible says if a man, and it means about a woman in a certain, if you're not married as well, if a man will not work, he shall not eat. Well, that's the way, that's, and actually to his credit, when Bill Clinton was president, he actually helped reform a lot of the welfare in this country to what they called workfare, where able-bodied people could get help, but they also had to hold a job down. And the modern Democrat Party is so far left that they think Bill Clinton's conservative. That's what's going on in this country. But in verse 10, we read that again. For whosoever shall keep the whole law and yet offend in one point, he is guilty of all. Now, this obviously is a great verse to use when dealing with anyone who thinks they're good enough to be saved by works. When you're talking to somebody and they say, well, I've sinned, but my good works outweigh my bad, and I haven't killed anybody, and I haven't this and that. And, you know, that's really a crazy standard. For starters, you can't be saved by works, the Bible says over and over, not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to his mercy he saved us. For by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is a gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. So the Bible says it over and over and over. But like we say, you stand in front of a judge and you've killed somebody, and you look at the judge and say, yeah, I did, but I haven't raped anybody. I've never robbed a bank. Oh, okay, then you're dismissed. That isn't going to happen. But somehow, no one ever makes that argument. They know that's not going to work out in a court in front of a judge here in the United States of America, and yet they think they're going to stand before the holy, righteous judge of all, God himself, and make that same stupid argument that they know they can't make on earth. Not going to work. Actually, it's nothing new. I mean, that's why God in the old... in the Mosaic Law said, you don't, just because a guy's poor, you don't say, well, he's excused to do what he's done. But that's what's going on in our system today. There are a lot of people who, we talked about this previously, there are some times where poor people go to prison where they might not have if they could afford a good attorney. There are other instances where the rich people can get good, the best attorney, the dream team, and get away with murder literally. That stuff happens. But today, that's not good. But you don't add to it even more bad by then having this standard that says that poor people can go loot, you know, and there's no consequences because they're poor or whatever you want to say. And that's what's going on with this COVID thing. They can't get people to go to work. Why? Because they're giving them money over and above the normal unemployment. And they're saying, I make as much or more staying home. Why would I go work? See, that's just, the excuse is they're helping out the poor. No, you're not. You're not helping out the poor, and you're going to ruin our economy, and the poor are going to be the ones hurt the most by that. But with that said, you can sit down with somebody, and they think they're going to go to heaven because they're not as bad as they could be or whatever, and here's a good verse to show that you can keep the whole law and then violate it one time, you're disqualified from salvation. That's why the only person who could die for your sins had to be Jesus Christ, because not only did he have to be sinless, but your sin is against an infinite God, so it couldn't be an angel. Angels are created. The only person that could pay for your sin is the Creator himself. And he took upon flesh in Jesus Christ and came as a man and died for our sins and paid the full price. But that's all well and good, but let's not lose sight of the context. You might have noticed that we're not actually dealing with soul winning here in this text. So it's not wrong to use that verse to show people that truth. But people lose sight of the fact that the actual context isn't about winning souls or leading someone to the Lord. We're dealing with Bible believers. These people here are brethren in Christ. You go back at the beginning of James, it says, a servant of God and of the Lord Jesus Christ. To the 12 tribes, which are scattered abroad, greeting. And then he says, my brethren. Is he talking about them being brethren as 12 tribes? Yes. But he's also talking about them being brethren who are Jews in the 12 tribes who are also believers in Jesus Christ. So don't lose sight of that. We're dealing with believers being hypocrites. James is confronting hypocrisy. And the big issue was, rich guy comes in, they give him the rocking chair. Jenny, could you please move? So, you know. And but then the poor guy comes in, and it's like he doesn't even exist. And if he tries to sit in the rocking chair, they say, oh, I think you'd be much better back there if you could sit just right in front of where Johnny's at. Yeah. Or on the floor. Pretending to be right with God while doing wrong to others. I just put that in there because it gives me a chance to get a drink of coffee. But wake some of you up too. But pretending to be right with God while doing wrong to others is one of the worst things a Christian can do. Because let's say you're committing to other sins. They're terrible. Sexual sin's terrible. Theft is terrible. Blasphemy's terrible. But if you're pretending to be right with God and being wrong or doing wrong to others, it's not just you you're affecting. You're not just offending God. You're also causing a lot of other people around you who see you living like that to stumble. And I've told the story of several people I knew through the years. They got saved later in life, and people would go to witness to them and share the gospel, and they'd say, why should I get saved? I work with three Christians. Two of them are deacons in churches, and they cuss like a sailor, cheating on their wives, gamble, drink, and everything. What? I'm a better person than they are. And they may be. But see, that's where you have to be able to tell them that's not the standard. Hypocrites that you work with aren't the standard. The standard is Jesus Christ. And since you can't live up to that standard, you can't be perfect, you can't be sinless, you have sinned. Again, you stand before a judge, and let's say you were caught stealing a TV, okay? And you're standing before the judge, and then you stand up and say, yeah, but you ought to see these guys I work with. I mean, you talk about crooks. I mean, they make me look like amateur hour. That's not going to affect the fact that you still stole a TV and got caught. You have to keep this all in perspective of what is the standard. The standard is perfection, sinlessness. And so that's why all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. We've all come short of the glory of God, so we all need to be saved. Yeah. And when you understand where you are, I mean, you're saved. I think everybody in this room is makes a solid profession of faith. I think onliners, I won't include you because I don't know you, a lot of you, but some of them I do know. But once you know you're saved, it's not time to get cocky. It's not time to get arrogant and say, hey, I'm a child of the King. Where is my crown? You know, that's how a lot of people go through life. Sadly, after they become a Christian, they just adopt this arrogance. What you need to remember is where you came from. Never forget you're nothing but a sinner saved by grace. Amen? So that's, yeah, there's a song written. Verse 11 discusses this. For he that said, do not commit adultery, said also, do not kill. Now if thou commit no adultery, yet if thou kill, thou art become a transgressor of the law. As I just said, that's how people try to argue, and it just makes no sense. Sometimes when you're talking to people, just try to calmly, kindly explain how crazy what they're saying is. Don't say, you're crazy, you know. But just stop and say, now think about what you're saying here, you know. And reason with them. Using the judge analogy has always worked well when I've talked to people about these things. But again, this explains why even the best among us is still a sinner who needs to be saved. And if you are saved, never forget that's what you are, a sinner saved. That means you should never look down on people. Never treat people like you in a condescending manner, like you're better than them. Because you're not. It's the thing. It's wrong because you're not. So we're dealing with saved hypocrites. When someone says, I don't go to church because there are too many hypocrites there. Of course, I joked about it. You know, I say, come on in. We can use one more. You know. But besides that, there's just the reality that, you know what, if you know, especially if you can get into conversation, but I've known people well enough I could just do this, I say, you know, you're such a hypocrite. You know, they say, I can't go to church, there's too many hypocrites. You're such a hypocrite. It just throws them. Why? Because you think you and the way you're living is some kind of prime example? Yeah. So what you need to get over is the fact that there are hypocrites in the church because they're human beings and you're just one of us. There are always, we all have our days where we're hypocritical. We all have our moments where we're hypocrites. The thing isn't to get to where you can say, I've arrived, and just start bragging.